The next is a recommendation from the Homelessness Task Force's December 9th meeting. It's moved by Councillor Butwell, seconded by Councillor Wieldon. That council receive or support the recommendation from the Homelessness Task Force. Councillor Butwell, can I assume and suggest that we're supporting this?
Yes, you may.
Councillor Wieldon as the seconder?
Most certainly. Thank you.
Roll call. Is there any discussion, Councillor Wieldon?
Thank you, Mayor. If I may, I'd like to just give a quick rundown of what the report contains. I know it's a little long. But to begin with, I do want to just read out the names of the members because I appreciate their volunteering and they did excellent work. The members were Betts Lobbin, forgive me if I mispronounce people's names, everyone, Bill Smith, Hannah McCausland, Jeff Wieldon, Heather Ratz, Laurie Cowette, Brian Ostrander, Mike O'Neill, Rob Cleave, and Wayne Jefferson. I think there's one I'm missing here. Kyle Cooperus, thank you. Really appreciate all of their efforts in showing up and providing feedback and really shaping this report. Towards the end of this report are the things, specifically a summary of the things that we recommend for the municipality, and I'd like to read them out if that's all right. They're on pages 16 to 17 of the report. The recommendations from the Brighton Homelessness Task Force are as follows. We recommend a motion from Council recognizing unhoused residents as right holders and committing to governing with respect for the rights of all residents without discrimination. This is a recommendation that comes from the Ontario Human Rights Code or Human Rights Commission and other research into rights and municipal governance. Increasingly, there's just a call for municipalities to recognize that these people do in fact have rights. So that's an easy ask. A motion from council advocating for federal and provincial funding at the levels needed to achieve the end of homelessness. Earlier in this report, I point out that AMO asked for $13 billion over 10 years to end homelessness, and the province responded with $20 million for shelters, $50 million for housing, and $378 million for heart hubs. AMO figures that accounts for 6% of the need. Similarly, the Parliamentary Budget Office suggested that if the federal government wanted to have homelessness, they would need to increase funding by $3.5 billion per year, and they responded with $500 million. So whatever approach municipalities take in addressing homelessness, it needs to be funded if it's going to be successful. A motion from council advocating for a revised community safety and well-being plan at the county level that specifically leaves room for lower tier implementation plans. This is similar to our advocacy with the county to make sure that their sustainability plan has room for a lower tier sustainability plan that can move in lockstep with them and share some common tasks or goals. The community safety and well-being plan is being revived right now. I know that committee has started meeting again, which is encouraging. And it is core to the approach that this report advocates for, which is about empowering people in the community to look after each other rather than having more centralized government services. A lower tier implementation plan for the revised community safety and well-being plan that engages the residents of Brighton, local business community, nonprofits, faith institutions, and volunteer groups to take collective responsibility for one another in a distributed and decentralized way according to the principles of asset-based community development. This was the ask that I asked to have budgeted and that the task force asked to have budgeted. And we've set aside $50,000 from hopeful grant funding, though not from the levy. Provision of space, both physical and virtual, for the coordination of services among nonprofits, faith institutions, and volunteer groups whose collective efforts reinforce the social fabric of our community. Basically, we recognize that these groups do great work, but often don't know what each other is up to, and that it's important that we provide some opportunity for them to coordinate so that they can more effectively take care of our residents. Provision of training opportunities for members of the public, particularly from the voluntary sector, to enhance their capacity and effectiveness in serving their neighbors and to equip landlords and tenants to proactively address housing insecurity and reduce evictions. This kind of training started this past week with our training session from Northumberland County. But Councillor Butwell and I have spoken many times about how having training for tenants so that they know their rights and having training for landlords so that they know their responsibilities would be really beneficial, because we see that side of it all the time in real estate. Provision of staff time to help convene and facilitate that community-based collaboration, and ideally to seek funding sources for a staff position to facilitate the Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan local implementation plan. Again, as with the sustainability plan, if we have a plan, we need someone to actually implement it. And so whether we can find staff time among our existing staff or to seek funding for a position, I think it would be worthwhile to empower those groups. Ongoing commitment to the grants and aid budget with special attention to programs and services that fill gaps in government services, which we're already doing. Ongoing commitment to the land banking initiative, the recommendations of the Housing Solutions Report, and other initiatives to increase the supply of affordable housing in Brighton, which again, we are already doing. A commitment from council to support staff through providing adequate training and resources, and through political support for staff making judgment calls regarding bylaw and code enforcement matters, so that no staff member is afraid to engage with and support residents who are precariously housed and for whom bylaw enforcement might result in eviction and homelessness. Sometimes, if our staff are not well supported, they will default to the hardest possible enforcement of a rule in order to protect themselves in a situation when they might also be able to protect our residents. And so trying to make sure that we support them adequately so that they can make a judgment call and know that we have their back. A revised parks bylaw that distinguishes between recreational camping and unhoused residents sheltering in peace. This came from a conversation with bylaw where they described that in some jurisdictions, the no camping in parks rules are being leveraged against people who are camping to survive rather than camping recreationally. And that's not what those bylaws were written for, but it is how they're being enforced. And so wanting to ensure that we make that fine distinction so that it's clear that there is a distinction. A review of existing public open spaces to identify locations that might be good candidates for designating as places to shelter in peace. This comes from the Waterloo decision and Kingston decision that we've talked about a few times at this table, wherein it has been ruled that a municipality cannot evict someone from a public park unless there is an adequate shelter space available for them. And defining what is adequate is relevant to that. And so basically people only live in parks when it's a last resort, and we are better served to direct them to a place where they might have some privacy than we are to try and run them out of town. And so knowing where we might direct someone to is wise, and we've had that conversation. Attention to the needs of unhoused residents as the municipality expands our portfolio of public open spaces. I know that we are looking for more public open spaces, according to our Parks and Rec Master Plan, and recognizing that there are going to be places where people are going to seek to shelter themselves probably in the future, and being proactive in considering those needs. Not that we want to buy park space for the sake of people who are going to sleep there, but recognizing that the places that we do find are likely to have someone need to sleep there. A commitment to ensuring that public washrooms remain open as much as possible, to ensure that unhoused residents have access to the dignity and privacy for their bodily functions, that all residents have the convenience of access to washrooms downtown, and that downtown businesses do not become public washrooms by proxy. Sometimes people misuse public bathrooms and we end up having to close them temporarily in order to clean them or deal with vandalism or repairs. But I've seen other jurisdictions that have chosen to just close them down indefinitely or for many months at a time. And that just shifts the burden to businesses, frankly. Continued partnership with transit operators to ensure that all residents have access to safe and affordable transportation. And I've been talking with Quinney Transit about how we might provide some bus passes for people in need. Ongoing proactive collaboration between bylaw enforcement, county social services, OPP, Northumberland County, community paramedicine, and Lower Trent Conservation staff as unhoused residents move around the municipality. Basically, we know that these people can, that our staff can be talking to these other groups, and wanting to make sure that we have an intentional open line of communication about such things so that we're prepared to act and coordinate as needed, which I'm sure we already do, but again, putting it down in writing. And finally, a commitment to print and periodically update the list of support services and nonprofits for distribution in the community so that when a Brighton resident needs support, we know who to call. Are there any concerns or objections to those recommendations?
Councillor Riley.
Thank you. Certainly no objections, Councillor Wielden. However, we are talking budget money, and I don't know how far you expect this project to go in 2026. Regardless of the $50,000 that we could maybe find in some kind of grant program, there are a lot of points on here that are going to cost a lot of money. And staff time alone is not cheap. Keeping public bathrooms open is not cheap. Looking after parks where people might have to stay is not cheap. So I don't know where any of those excess dollars are going to come from.
I can confidently say this year it's just the $50,000 that we earmarked through grant opportunities, but we'll need to watch that carefully as the years go on. Councillor Wielden.
Thank you, Mayor. You're right that staff time is not cheap, and keeping a commitment to keeping bathrooms open might burn through more budget than otherwise. But all the things on here are just asking us to commit to upholding the standard of service that we already provide, and basically to not give up if it starts to get a little bit tougher. We're not asking for any new spending in this, only aside from that $50,000. If for some reason there was a huge spate of vandalism in the community and we burned through the repairs budget faster than usual, these recommendations ask that we find a way to keep the bathroom open anyway. But aside from that, we're not asking for anything new, aside from the implementation plan, which is again that grant funded thing, and then the request that we seek funding. This was actually the mayor's suggestion that we change it from provide to seek funding to provide. So if there's additional staff time needed to continue to coordinate such things, we are going to seek funding for that. But otherwise, all of the things that I've asked for are basically, as we are doing the things that we normally do, let's just make sure that we also consider that unhoused people use these resources too, and that we're not going to withhold these services from them.
And just a reminder that we've already offered a soft commitment to the downtown businesses to keep the bathrooms open because they don't have the facilities, accessible facilities in their store locations. If any of us have been in the back of most of the downtown businesses, we know that it's storage and it's a place where they get ready to bring product out, and even the staff have to crawl over things to use the facilities. So it's not a good place to bring anybody. So that's why we made the commitment to try to keep those bathrooms on the stage open through all year long if we can. And the year we weren't able to do that because of some concerning behaviors that were going on, we brought in porta potties. So, we're already fulfilling some of these commitments, not based on homelessness task force concerns, but based on downtown business concerns. So all of these things go hand in glove, and that's why I have no issue supporting them. I mean, it's all about building community and being better in community. So, but go ahead, Councillor Riley. So, any other comment? All in favor? Being unopposed, that motion's carried.